Wasn't that a fun song? How many of you like that song? Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it? Yeah, it kind of grows on you after a while. It's a great song. I am absolutely thrilled that you're here right now because this weekend we are launching our brand new weekend message series that we're calling Stay Positive. And the one thing that every single one of us have in common, probably more so than anything else, is that we all know how hard it is to stay positive in a negative world. And if you are anything at all like me, I find that I sometimes just seem to kind of subtly drift back into negativity. And whenever I'm like negative, I feel really icky on the inside. And it skews my perspective of life, and it just makes things very hard and difficult. Let me ask you, any of you here ever deal with bouts of doubts and negativity? Raise your hand. You ever deal with bouts of doubts and negativity? Yeah. So today, I want to talk to you about optimism. Would you turn to somebody near you and say to them, I'm optimistic. Come on, I'm optimistic. Have you ever noticed how that some people are like naturally more optimistic? Well, some people are just naturally more pessimistic. I mean, you know, two people can read the same verse in the Bible. My cup overflows, and actually interpret it in different ways. The optimist reads my cup overflows and just feels warm and fuzzy and thinks about God's blessings. The pessimist reads the verse, my cup overflows, and reacts thinking, oh no, we're going to have a big mess. Somebody grab the mop. You know, I once heard about a couple, they had twin boys. One of them was an optimist, the other was a pessimist. And even though these two boys were twins and they looked alike, they were like polar opposites of each other. So for their birthday, their dad decided that he was going to give them each different gifts and just watch how they react in a different way. So for the pessimist, they filled his bedroom with brand new toys. And when he walked in his bedroom, his dad and mom stood there and they said, surprise, happy birthday. And he started crying. The parents said, why are you crying? He said, because now all my friends, they're going to wonder why I have so many toys. And now I'm going to have to read the instructions for all of them and try to figure out how to put them together. And when the batteries wear out, I'm going to have to replace all of the old batteries with new batteries. For the optimist, the dad went out in the backyard, piled a huge mound of manure, took the little boy to the back door, said, happy birthday, son. He went running toward the pile of manure, grabbed a shovel, and just started digging. The parents said, son, why are you digging? He says, I know there has to be a pony in there somewhere. Yeah, we all have these different lens that we view life with, and sometimes we feel more optimistic, and sometimes we become more of a pessimist, and it's really difficult. And to make matters even more complicated, the reality is that we are living in a unique time and age in human history where we're dealing with a growing epidemic of negativity. And it's around us all the time. And especially we see the evidence of it in the news media and all around. I mean, people have become so critical and cynical and judgmental and just down on everything. And everywhere we go, it seems like this is what we hear and this is what we're exposed to. And in the midst of it all, we have to deal with how we manage our thought life. Because here's what happens. Not only do we have this influence of negativity around us, but internally in the way that we think, our thought life, and we do what I call stinking thinking. And stinking thinking is when we start going south in our thinking and down on ourselves, and we say things. Some of you, this is going to be familiar to you. We say things internally to ourselves. This is this negative self-talk. You know, I just don't have what it takes. I just don't measure up. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. I'm not going to be able to pull it off. Things are bad, and they're only going to just get worse. And we just start digging this hole. And then we just go more and more south with negativity, and we kind of bury ourselves in it. And it's not healthy. Because you know what it does? Not only does it skew our perspective on life, but even furthermore, it distorts our perception of reality. And so the truth is, what is truth and what is reality? The truth is that there are a lot of really bad things taking place in the world. I mean, there are a lot of painful problems. There are a lot of things that are just not good at all that are taking place. A lot of natural disasters, a lot of terrible tragedies, all kinds of losses in life. And yes, this is reality. And to totally ignore it and act as if it doesn't exist would be a state of denial. But on the other hand, what we must be able to see is, yes, there are a lot of things that are really wrong and broken in this world, but at the same time, there are so many things that are just so good and so right and so true. So we have both of these dynamics taking place all the time, and in the midst of it, we must know that God is on his throne and that God is good, like, all the time. And we must know that we get more of whatever it is we're looking for in life. This is the difference between a buzzard and a hummingbird. What do they have in common? They're both birds. But the buzzard, it just looks for and finds and feeds on stinky dead carcasses. The hummingbird flies around looking for, finding sweet things to feed on. So which do you want to be, a miserable buzzard or a happy hummingbird? Would you take the outline out of your program entitled, I'm Optimistic? Now, this ancient truth that we get more of whatever it is we're looking for in life is so old. It all goes all the way back to King Solomon. He once discovered this ancient truth, and he actually recorded this about it. It's in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27. He writes, if you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you. And the wisdom of Solomon, what he's saying is that whatever gets your attention will get you. Whatever it is you're looking for in your life, you're going to get more of it. So it's about our thought life. It's about a healthy, positive mental attitude. Now, this is exciting because of this. This means that becoming an optimistic person and staying positive is not limited to your chemistry and your personality. Some of you have told yourself, well, I'm just not an optimist. Well, why would you think you're not an optimist? I mean, it's really not about your chemistry and your personality as it is about your focus in life. What is it that you're looking for? What is it that you're focusing on? Because of this, and don't miss this, whenever we develop this love-based, biblical approach to life, what it translates into is a positive mental attitude. Whenever we focus on developing a fear-based, worldly approach to life, what it translates into is a negative mental attitude. And you and I, we get to choose on a daily basis as we filter all the things that we are exposed to in life. So we must learn to look and see the things that God is doing in our midst and celebrate the victories and look for all of the positive things and make a bigger deal out of that than all of the negative stuff that is around at the same time. And in this we find a healthy approach to life. Now, I know what some of you are thinking about right now. You're thinking, come on, Jim, you're just talking about pop psychology. No, not at all. What I'm talking to you about is far greater than pop psychology. What I'm talking to you about is biblical truth. You see, here it is. I'm optimistic not because of how I feel. I'm optimistic because of what God says about me. Huge difference. I'm not trying to trick my feelings. I'm optimistic not because of how I feel. I'm optimistic because of what God says about me and how God sees me. You see, God sees every single one of us as acceptable, as valuable, as lovable, as forgivable, and as capable. In order to stay positive and in order to be optimistic, we're going to have to see ourselves the way that God sees us, and we're going to have to take to heart what God has to say about us. And so we see that in the first century, there was this man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit who wrote this book in the Bible called the Book of Romans. In the Book of Romans, there is this eighth chapter. And the eighth chapter of Romans has got to be by far one of the most promising and optimistic chapters in the entire Bible, because in it, there are 23 references to optimism out of this one chapter in the Bible. Now, we're not going to go through all 23 of them, but I would like for us to just take a look at these seven reasons to be optimistic based upon the book of Romans chapter 8. Here we go. I'm optimistic. Number one, first of all, I'm optimistic because my sins are forgiven. I mean, if that doesn't do something for you, to know that the heaviness, the weight, the burden, the condemnation of sin, that we've been freed from this. I'm optimistic because my sins have been forgiven and my eternity is secure. And Jesus once said, to whom is forgiven much, loves much. I'm that person. I've been forgiven of so much. And because I've been forgiven of so much, I love so much. Now, it's interesting. When Jesus promised eternal life to every single person who chose to turn their heart to heaven and place their trust in him, we often think, well, this gift of everlasting life, this gift of forgiveness, and knowing that my eternity is secure, we think that somehow that eternity begins after we die and go to heaven. But in reality, the very moment you name the name of Jesus, you turn your heart to heaven and you say a big yes to Jesus, eternity begins in your life right then and there and in that moment. And this is what we read in Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2. If this doesn't put a smile on your face, I'm telling you. Especially, notice it says here, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Absolutely no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. He says the law of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, the Holy Spirit who gives life has set us free of the law of sin and death. And some of you say, well, Jim, what does that actually mean? And this is what it means. It means that when Jesus went to the cross, he was mindful of you. And he took your sins and my sins and the sins of the world upon himself. And even though he was sinless, he never sinned. In that moment on the cross, he took our sins upon himself. He paid the ultimate price so we could pass from eternal judgment and condemnation to eternal life in him. And we have so much to be optimistic about. In fact, to be eternally optimistic. Number two, I can be optimistic because my future victory is greater than my present pain. Talk about a healthy, positive mental attitude. My future victory is greater than my present pain. which means that this is true perspective in life. And this is what it means to be optimistic, that regardless of what you may be going through right now, you know it's just temporary, and you know that it doesn't even begin to compare to what God has for you that's so far greater. And this is why we read, now check this out, Romans 8:18. I consider, this is the Apostle Paul writing this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed, where at? Come on. In us. That it can't even come close to be compared to it. Now, to stay positive and be optimistic, we're going to have to learn how to interpret suffering in life in a healthy biblical way. Because of this, none of us are exempt from life's problems and pain. And the fact is, every single one of us experience suffering, pain, and loss in this life. But in the midst of it, we have this keen ability that's made available to us to be able to see through it all and to see beyond it and to know that there's so much more and to know that God is good. And God is able to take the bad things that we go through and we experience and translate it into that will ultimately become good for you and your life and bring Him glory. And this is why He says, notice, regardless of what you may be going through, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The Apostle Paul, the one who actually wrote that, he understood what suffering in life was all about. And he remained so positive and so optimistic. And you have to get your head around this. Here's a guy who had been tortured. He had been brutally beaten to a bloody pulp, left for dead more than once, was shipwrecked and abandoned on a remote island in the Mediterranean Sea, had this snake bite by a poisonous snake, and yet he didn't die. And when he wrote these very words that we're reading, he was in chains in prison. Talk about perspective in life. He wasn't in denial of the present pain, the suffering, and the difficulties that he was facing, but he had this eternal optimism. He had this hope in his heart that was so alive and so much more powerful and beyond all of this stuff. Which, number three, I can be optimistic because my mind is filled with the peace of God. My mind is filled with the peace of God. Now, this peace that the Bible talks about it's a supernatural kind of peace. We're not just talking about some kind of a state of tranquility. We're talking about this peace of mind and heart. And it is possible to experience God's peace in your life even while going through the storms of life. And this is what makes it possible for us to remain positive and to be optimistic. Notice in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, we read, if people's thinking is controlled by their sinful self, there is death. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. Now he's talking about the thought life. He's talking about your mind. He's talking about how we think. And he's saying that if our mind is controlled by the sinful self, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be icky. But when our mind is being inspired by and directed by, and notice he says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which that it's going to be a different result. It's going to be life and it's going to be peace. I find it absolutely amazing and so interesting that in the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul uses the Greek word pneuma 21 times, which interpreted is the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we see that this new life in Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that it translates into pure and real optimism in our lives. Now, here's the deal. Here's reality. For every single one of us, to some degree, we've grown up with patterns of thinking that have been ingrained within us. And there are these well-worn paths in our thought life and these patterns of negativity that seem so familiar to us that we just think that's normal. And yet Scripture tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How does that take place? Well, we replace the old negative patterns of thinking with new positive patterns of thinking, and we renew our minds with the truth of God's Word. And the result is when we daily dip down into God's Word and meditate on His Word, and we're replacing the old patterns of thinking with the new patterns of thinking, there's a transformation that takes place, and it makes it possible for us to stay more positive and to be optimistic. The psalmist once said that the person that God will keep in perfect peace, those whose mind is stayed upon Him. Could it be in the midst of the hustle and bustle of life and all of the feelings of negativity and the injustices and the attitudes that we face and deal with on a regular basis, could it be that God's calling us to a higher place? And it's not just totally ignoring all of that stuff, but it's seeing that there's something in the midst that's so much bigger and so much better for us to live our lives out of. Number four, I can be positive or I can be optimistic because if God is for me, who can be against me? Now, this number four, I'd like for us to say this one out loud together on the count of three. Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. If God is for me, who can be against me? You know what that means? You and God are a majority. When you've got God in your corner as being born from above, made alive spiritually, being a forgiven friend and a follower of Christ, you're a person of God's eternal kingdom, and this is an unstoppable force. And you're playing on the winning team. You know, I can't help but to think about a man in the Bible in the Old Testament by the name of David. David was this ruddy teenage kid who was caring for this flock of sheep out in the fields, who found himself on the battleground facing a 9-foot giant by the name of Goliath. Goliath was this trained warrior with all of this protective gear and all of these powerful weapons. And here's David. I mean, this skinny little teenage kid with no more than a slingshot and 5 smooth stones that he drew from this creek bed. And David talked about optimistic. You know what David did? David even said, as Goliath was talking trash, David just looked at him and said, I'm going to take your head as a trophy. And he did. Not because he was smarter, stronger, better, more skilled in all of these things, but because God was with him and God was for him. And for those of us who are in Christ, you've got to know that God is with you and that God is for you. And He's going to see you through whatever it is you're going through even right now. And this is why we read in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? If it is God who justifies. Now, I realize that some of you would say, well, there are people that are against me. You know, there's somebody that's against me right now. Well, yeah, rightfully so. That's the way it works. Anytime you make a stand, anytime you live your life on mission, there will always be people who will oppose you, people who will criticize you, People will talk trash behind your back. I mean, it just comes with the territory. Jesus once said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when people persecute you for my name's sake." Could it be that the reason that you're experiencing this opposition in your life is because you're headed in the right direction? And number five, I can be optimistic because God's Spirit helps me in my weakness. The fact is, we all have certain weaknesses. We all have certain deficits, disabilities. We all have certain things in our lives that hold us back, things that we struggle with, and things that we just think, you know, I just don't measure up. But reality is the Holy Spirit becomes so strong in the midst of our own weaknesses and brings glory to God, because we realize it's not really all about me. It's about God who is at work in and through me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And in those times when you're feeling down in the dumps, those times when you're having a difficult time, those times when you feel as if you're not measuring up somehow, just know this. God is with you. God is for you. And the Holy Spirit, in those moments when you cannot carry yourself, He'll carry you. He'll prove Himself strong in your weaknesses. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, "Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." Notice that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit at work right in the midst of our weaknesses. And we all think that, you know, we've got to like do these spiritual exercises and we got to be this like Superman type, Superwoman Christianity. And in reality, God does His best work in and through the midst of our human limitations and our own weaknesses. And have you ever had those moments and times in your life where you've gone through a very difficult situation, but yet you seem to have this incredible peace about you, and you don't really know for sure how you're able to make it through it, but you have this hope and this optimism in the middle of it, and somebody comes to you and they say, "How are you holding up, and how are you going through this, and I don't see how you could deal with this," and yet God is carrying you. He's seeing you through that. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And number six, I can be optimistic because God is working everything in my life for good. God is working everything in my life for good. Now, this has got to be one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible, Romans 8:28. And yet, it's one of the most optimistic and positive verses in the Bible. And let's just see if we can just touch down on it for a moment. Notice Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know. The very words "we know" breathes optimism and certainty. It's not like we think or it could be, or it's some kind of blind faith, it's some sort of shot in the dark. No, no, no. We know that in all things. Now, in all things, the word "all," do you know how the word "all" translates from the original Greek? All. We know that in all things, God works for the good of just anyone and everyone all the time. Is that what it says? Oh, no, no. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. And so you can be optimistic. You can be certain. You can live your life in faith. You can know that regardless of how confusing and difficult life may be, that for those of us who are in God's family as a forgiven friend and a follower of Jesus, that God is at work in and through your life. And there is not a thing in your life that God cannot transform into good for His glory. Let me say it another way. There is absolutely nothing that's not irreversible in the economy of God's kingdom, which means all things are possible. And with God, all things are possible. And have you ever just gone through something in your life and it was the most horrible thing ever? And I mean, you just didn't even think you were going to be able to make it through it. And then later on in life, you look back and you realize, oh my gosh, the handiwork of God. I see how God was weaving the thread of the tapestry of my life in order to make this huge, like colorful outcome that was so far beyond your own limited understanding, your own limited ability. When I was in my early 20s, one of the most horrible things I've ever experienced in my life was when my friend Jeff Brill, at the age of 23 years old, was stabbed and murdered in the backyard of his parents' house, and I stood this close as I watched him take his last breath. The next morning, I woke up to the reality that my friend Jeff, that had a bright and promising future that everybody likes so well, is no longer alive, but he's dead. There's nothing I can do about it. What a terrible thing to go through as a young man. And yet somehow as I sorted through it and moving forward, it caused me to ask a lot of questions about life, about eternity, about God. And as a result, my heart was turned to heaven. I made peace with God. And today I look back all those years ago and I realize that God has used that terrible tragedy of my life to influence my story, to impact the lives of literally thousands of people throughout the years. God doesn't cause the tragedies to take place in our lives, but God is amazingly able to take the things in our lives and somehow transform them into some sort of a good outcome that brings glory. Number 7, I can be optimistic because nothing can separate me from God's love. Absolutely nothing can separate you from God's love. That no matter where you run, no matter how hard you try to hide, that God will track you down. Because God's love is bold and God's love is relentless, and you matter so much to God. And so God's love will be there. There's absolutely nothing you could do to make God love you any more than He loves you right now, or to make God love you any less than He loves you right now. And this is what we read in Romans 8, 38 and 9. Paul says, "For I am convinced." I mean, it's breathing optimism and certainty. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Talk about optimistic. God's love for you, and nothing can change it. And what I'm saying to you is that you can be optimistic because your sins are forgiven and your eternity is secure. You can be optimistic because your future victory is greater than your present pain. You can be optimistic because your mind is filled with the peace of God. You can be optimistic because if God is for you, who can be against you? And you can be optimistic because if God's Spirit helps you in your weakness. And you can be optimistic because God is working everything in your life for good. And you can be optimistic because nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the next time someone says to you, you know, the world just is horrible. Everything has gone bad. You know, things used to be good, but they're not good anymore. And they start ragging on the politicians and the government and going negative about how everything's so broken and so wrong in this life. You can just step back, about two steps back. Take a deep breath. And with great respect, say, you know, you're right. There are a lot of problems in this world. There are a lot of things that are really broken and unfortunate. There are a lot of terrible tragedies and injustices that take place. But have you ever considered this? You know, not only are there a lot of bad and broken things taking place in the world, but you know, really, there are a lot of great things taking place. Have you ever considered the goodness of God? Have you ever just considered how much you matter to God? Have you ever had an encounter and experience God's love in your life in such a way that it changed you on the inside out? And you can say something like, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be optimistic because I don't want to be like a miserable buzzard who's feeding on all kinds of stinky dead stuff. I want to be more like a hummingbird who's happy flying around and finding and feeding on sweet things. Would you please stand? I believe God wants to breathe life, encouragement, and optimism within us, even as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and our lives. And we see these eight reasons to be optimistic based upon the book of Romans. I believe God wants this to be a reality in our lives. I realize that for some of you here today, if the truth were known, you don't feel as close to God as you did at one time. And yet, for some of you who are here right now, you've been kind of hard and down on yourself. And because of that, you kind of feel as if somehow God is being hard and down on you. And yet, for some of you, where you're at today, you have this little something within you. You're dealing with bouts of doubts and negativity, but there's this little voice within you that keeps saying, I want to believe, I want to believe. Could it be that God has placed within you this measure of faith to believe? And when you act upon that measure of faith and you choose to place your trust in Jesus and follow him, that seed of faith will grow into, over time, mountain-moving faith in your life. I believe God wants to touch you. He wants to open your eyes to the reality and the sweetness of his goodness that's around you all the time, and to give us eyes to see beyond the negative and to be able to see all of the good things that God is doing in our midst. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the gift of life and of relationships. I thank you for the truth of your word. God, we thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you that you've called us to be alive at this unique time in human history for purposes that are beyond ourselves. God, would you stir our hearts with faith to believe you? Would you give us eyes to see the sweetness, the goodness of who you are and what you're doing in our midst? And God, would you give us the faith to stay positive in a negative world? For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, next weekend, we're going to come back again, and I'm going to talk about enthusiasm next weekend. So grab some friends, some other people, and come. It's going to be a great time. Meanwhile, stay positive.